3, if you will. Genesis chapter 3. I really want to encourage you with the Bible conference. We haven't said a whole lot about it. We have Mike Edwards from Woodbridge, Virginia, and Tim Rabin from Raleigh, North Carolina. Tim, we've had here several times. Always a blessing. Tremendous preacher. Just a joy. His wife Sharon's going to come along, and they're going to. In fact, he's bringing his mother-in-law. I think they're going to go see Sight and Sound while they're up here, which means they're going to be around on Wednesday. And I didn't know they're going to be around on Wednesday, so I haven't decided exactly why I have to do that. I have both preachers here for Wednesday night as well. So I was trying not to steal him from his Wednesday night service at his church, but he's going to be here anyway. So we may get a double header then too. But I really want you to put that on your calendar. And brother and Dr. Mike Edwards, tremendous preacher, has built a tremendous church down in Woodbridge, Virginia, and been known for years and years just for a great ministry there. And he's now retired, so he's able to get away, so I could get him on a Sunday. And so he'll be here on Sunday morning, and he'll be here with us all day Sunday morning, Sunday school, second service, evening service. Then, of course, Monday night, Brother Raven will preach first, then Brother Edwards. Then Tuesday morning, we'll have Brother Edwards first, and then Brother Raven, 10 and 11. And then that evening, at 7 and 8, we'll do the same thing. And then we'll have them both for Wednesday night. So I'm trying to decide whether we're going to have them both preach on Wednesday night. I know we've got some folks here and there and yon, but we might figure out a way to make it work. We'll see. But I really want you to be here, all right? This is not willy-nilly. This is not say, well, we did our Bible conference and we're trying to fill up time because you have nothing to do, all right? I'm not doing that. We have plenty to do. But we really need that 1-2 punch sometimes. It's amazing how one message. And you pray about it, but it's amazing how I don't tell the men what to preach. They come up here. It's amazing how God puts all this together, and He'll work in our heart. And so I really want to encourage you to do that and be here. Put it on your calendars. The end of March, last Sunday in March. So I want you to put that on the calendar. Don't schedule to be away. Don't schedule a procedure at the doctor that's going to keep you away that week. I'm serious. Don't schedule to be out of town. Don't schedule somebody else to come in and see you, and you got to stay home. I'm going to say this to you. I don't reprimand you very often, but it's amazing. I'll bring special folks in that I know I want you to hear. Your preacher wants you to hear this, and people will stay home because I'm not preaching. I'm serious. They'll stay home while the preacher's not going to be there. He's not preaching, so I'll go someplace else. I'll stay home. No, this is why I brought him in. This is why we spent extra money to bring these guys in. So I want you to be here. It'll be a blessing to you. And you know how it is. Sometimes you just need to hear it a different way. I've been surprised how many over the years, how many times the preachers will come in. And again, I haven't told them what I'm doing, what I've been doing, and they'll preach. They'll turn right around, and people look at me and say, you know, look at me. Did you tell him what to preach? Because he's saying the same thing you said last week. You know, he said, well, then I heard it. No, he'll say it in a different way that'll drive it home. All right, you need, in fact, you know, that you say, well, God's, when God says something like these things in Deuteronomy the other week, I read it, and then I read it again, and I read it again, and I read it again. You know what he's saying? I mean it. And when God does that, and he kind of doubles up on us here, you know what he's saying to our congregation? I want you to hear this. I mean it. And so, I don't know what will happen. Maybe totally different. But I'll guarantee you, I don't pull in folks who are just, you know, hot shots are going to come in and rip everything up and leave town. These guys have pastored. They've got a pastor's heart. That's why I could trust them. And they're going to come in here. They're going to do a good job. So I know I'm pressing it, but I really want you to be here. If you're watching online, we will put it online. But even better yet, come and be here with us. You say, well, I can't come in for this 2 hours. It's going to be 2 hours long. I can't stay here for 2 hours long. Come and get as much as you can. Now, don't go home and watch a movie. My TV show's on, so I gotta leave it. I gotta leave at 8. No, I'm not gonna buy that. God's not gonna buy that. But you know, you gotta work. You gotta get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, so you gotta be in bed by 8:30 or whatever it is. I understand that. I understand. Well, then come the first one and go home, and do what you can. You say I don't get off to work till 7. I won't be able to make it for the first one. Then come in for 8 o'clock for the second one, or come in as soon as you can get here. Same thing for Tuesday morning. You know, if you can be here for part of it Tuesday morning, be here. If you can't, fine. It's your loss, but fine. You know, we'll have a luncheon afterwards. It's all free. Sign up back there on the welcome desk. We want to get as much of this as you can. As much you say, well, I got to come in my work clothes. Come in your work clothes. Well, you don't know what my work clothes. Well, put a towel down, and we'll and you know. And if you stink that bad, sit someplace else. But we want you to be here. All right. I'm serious. We want you to be here, and that's why we bring it in. And we're not in here to play church and have a bunch of religious services. You know, we're not having religious services. We're having preaching. By the foolishness of preaching, things change. And so that's what we want. Anyway, that was the first message. Genesis number 3. Genesis chapter 3. We have here, of course, in Genesis chapter 2, you have the creation. Chapter 1, chapter 2, the creation of the world. And everything's fine. It's created perfect. When we come to chapter 3, it doesn't take long till the old devil tries to, and he does, he successfully convinces Adam and Eve to make a choice, to make a bad choice. And the serpent says, hath God said. And by the way, if anybody says, are you sure that's what it says? Are you sure that's what the Bible says? You cross them right off. I'm serious. And they start, they're saying, they make you to question the authority of the Word of God in your life. Now, I'm not saying somebody, you haven't heard somebody give you the wrong thing. I mean, you go back and precept upon precept, line upon line, study to show thyself approved, work beneath and not be ashamed. Know the Word of God. But if somebody says, oh, you don't need to listen to that Word of God there, you know, the church, oh, my soul, well, don't get into that kind of stuff there. Well, then let them go. This is truth right here. Now, Satan says, hath God said? And she says, well, he said. And he said, well, he's lying to you. He's holding back. You know, you won't die. Honestly, you're not going to die. And verse 6, it says, and a woman saw the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. He says, you're going to know that you're going to have the knowledge of good and evil. Once they sinned, they realized they had sinned. And they knew they were naked. All of a sudden, now it was a problem. It was just them. They didn't have a problem. It was in God's design. There wasn't a problem. Now there's a problem. Verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And basically he said, how did you know that? He said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof... You know, watch. Satan didn't tell them they were naked. All right? But they got into sin, and now they know these things. Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. So he blames it on his wife. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I didn't eat. She said, he lied to me. Verse 14. Now watch me. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed. Thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed, is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now let us put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turneth away every way to keep the way of the tree of life. I want to have a message here this morning, and we're in our middle of our series here. He says, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. To understand where we're going here, we need to understand what it is that we're fighting, if you will. And today, be honest with you, I know this sounds terrible, especially on Valentine's Day. We're going to talk about living among the curse. I think there's an awful lot of people who do not understand the doctrine of the curse. And we've got a lot of things mixed up, and it's causing us to make poor decisions, misunderstanding of some things. And so this is kind of a learning type of message, but we need to understand. The curse is very much present throughout the Bible. And it's not God has not left it anywhere. It's all right here. But we don't think about it, mostly because we don't study the Bible a lot of times. But there's a concept here we need to understand. We can't fight an enemy if we don't know who the enemy is. And we're not going to do well in fighting if we don't know how the enemy works and all these kind of things. I mean apparently there's a ball game tonight. By the way, DVRs work. We're having church. Anyway, doesn't matter where they throw that pigskin around to. But I'll tell you this, there have been a lot of people who have been watching the other team in video trying to see which way the quarterback goes. You know, he always tends to go this way when this happens. And so that they're there to meet him when he gets there. And, you know, and they know this play and that play, and they're studying this and where their weak spot is and all this kind of thing. And a lot of us go into the world defenseless because we don't know our enemy. And it's not hard. We don't have to fight him. A lot of times we just need to stay out of his way. And to some places he doesn't go, like into the light. He doesn't like the light because his deeds are evil. But the problem is we like the dark because it's our deeds are evil. But we walk in the light as he is the light. We won't be in the dark. We won't be next to the enemy. So anyway, let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to discuss it. Living among the curse. Father, again, we thank you for your word. Got lots to cover here this morning. I ask for your Holy Spirit to teach us these truths. These are truths that we really understand. I believe a lot of folks have never truly understood this whole concept, this principle. And it's right here in the Word of God. We just need to look at it and understand it. And Lord, I want our folks to have victory. I want them to have a life of blessing. And Lord, not a life of, not existence full of death and cursing, destruction. So Lord, give us your wisdom. I need your Holy Spirit. And we ask in Christ's name. Amen. In this series of messages, the word curse is going to be used frequently. Here's our passage. The Lord set before Israel. They had come out of Egypt. They were heading to the promised land. And he had rules for how it was going to work. They got scared. They didn't go in. And so they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. After 40 years, God says, time to take him in. Moses, get him set up, ready to go. Moses, in the book of Deuteronomy, lays down the law all over again. Nothing has changed. Truth is still truth. It's just as true from that 40 years past to today. There is no difference in the Word of God. God is still true, and God's Word is still true, and he hasn't changed. And so he says, here's how we're going to do it. Now, he gave them all these things. He says, don't do what the people used to do in here that I'm kicking out, because I'll kick you out too. Now, if you want to have a good life, here's what you got to do. And so at the end of this, in Deuteronomy 30, almost to the end of this book, he says, okay, now here it is. I've set two things before you. I've set before you life and blessing. And I've set before you death and cursing. It is your choice. Choose life. Choose life. That means we have a choice. Also, though, as I spoke about last week, we are condemned already. If we don't make a choice, the natural choice is death and cursing. The default curse, and that's what we're going to talk about today. I want you to understand this. I believe it's very important for us to truly understand what that word curse is referring to if we're going to be able to fully comprehend what I'm going to relate to. Now, in times past, I've thrown this word curse around, and the word curse is in the Bible means something quite different than I think the way we have come to use that word today. Today, when we speak of a curse, a lot of people conjure up in their mind this thought of a supernatural, even diabolical or demonic hex placed on some person or placed on some object or group of people with the purpose of tormenting them or destroying them. We kind of think of being jinxed or attacked or being hurt by way of some voodoo doll or something, controlled by some potion or mind control. That is not the meaning of the word curse in the Bible. The Lord is neither diabolical nor demonic. The Lord is not seeking our harm, but He's seeking our good. The Lord is not tempted, nor does He tempt us. The Lord is not out looking for revenge or retribution. And yet, it says the Lord cursed. The curse spoken of the Bible is not an additional danger developed by God in order to punish us. The curse is simply, now listen to me, God allowing us to be vulnerable to the great curse that is already enacted upon this world. Let me say that again. You understand when I'm done here. The curse in the Bible is simply God allowing us to be vulnerable to the great curse that's already been enacted upon this world. It is not about adding a curse, but lifting God's hedge of protection around us. Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but the world through Him might have life. We're condemned already. So I've tried to explain this concept, but I want you to see it from the Word of God. This will allow us to have a proper, understanding of how it is applied to our lives. Now, have you ever seen people that just seem to have perpetual bad luck? You know what I'm saying? It's as if the whole world is against them. You know why that is? The whole world is against them. But it's also against us. Now, you know, if you live in a, if you live closer to a sewer, you're going to smell more of it than other people do, but it still stinks to all of us. And some people live in places, or they live in societies where there's more the stink of sin around them than other places. So they're going to be affected more or less, I understand. But the fact is, it's all out there. And if we and that's why you hear, except for the grace of God, so goes I. You know, well, I don't do that. Well, you grew up in a decent place, maybe. The world is against us. But wait a minute. Jesus has overcome the world. John 16, 33, these things, Jesus says, I have spoken to you that in me ye might have peace. Why is that? Because in the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, if the Lord has overcome the world, then we need to stick close to the Lord, our overcomer. When you walk away from the righteousness of God, you walk away. When you walk away from the righteousness of God, you walk away from God, and thus you walk away from your overcomer. Thus we are left to try and survive in this sin-cursed world unarmed, helpless, Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. There's no such thing as luck. There's no such thing as karma. Oprah thinks the universe is going to somehow send good things. If you send it out, it'll come back. It takes more faith, blind faith, to believe that than to believe in a benevolent God. Let me give you number one. Got a lot to cover here. Number one, the origin of the great curse. I want you to see the origin of the great curse. Now first, again, let me go back to the word curse. I tried to look up the word curse, and I kept coming up with this word, execrate. Oh, well, that helps a lot. That's a word I use all the time. It means, and watch me, it says it means to abominate, to disapprove, to disesteem, to loathe, to consider it anathema. In other words, to that I want no affiliation with it, to abhor it, to pronounce it no longer something that I want to be with. So when the Lord says he's going to curse it, what he's saying is, it gives the idea, is he's going to separate from it. You want to do it on your own? Go ahead. Have at it. You don't want my hands on it? Go ahead. So we're asking for problems, if we truly believe that God is the answer to our problems. What we're saying is, God says, well, then you're on your own. Well, then there went our answer. Our answer just left us. So it means to separate from. It is in a way God disowning us. We've walked away or run away from the Lord, and the Lord has let us go. Not that the Lord is glad you're gone, but the Lord is not going to make you stay. The Lord will allow you to live without him because that is what you have chosen. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In the beginning was the Word, and it got the life. Jesus said, let there be light, and there was life. God created life. He says, you stick with me, you got life, and along with life comes blessing. But he said, if you separate from me, you're going to have death, and along with death comes this cursing, where the fact is now you're separated from me and you're on your own. You're now fighting this world curse all by yourself. And remember, everybody else around here is fighting the curse too. So what if they're not fighting a good fight? And they got sin all over them. You get close to them, that sin's going to come your way. You're going to get hurt somehow. It's going to be flying all over the place. The curse really means to no longer support, to no longer encourage or enable. It means to leave it alone because you want no connection to it. Now, there's an illustration. You all know the story of the prodigal son. The man had two sons. They were both there, and the young son said, you know what, I want all my money, and I want my inheritance, and he didn't tell Dad he was leaving, just said, I went on my inheritance. Well, okay. And once he got all his inheritance, he heads out of town. Because he didn't want to be under Daddy's authority. He wanted to do his own thing. And so he went out and lived wildly in the far country out there with all the world. You know what he did? He left the protection of his father and walked right into the curse. He walked right out into the middle of the curse. Now, so what did he experience? A mess. It was a mess. But did the father stop him? Your choice. Did the father want him to go? No. He waited on the porch for days or years or who knows how long to see that old gangly boy come back over the hill, you know, and come home. Stinking stench and everything he had going on with him. Gave him a big hug and a kiss when he finally did show up at home. But he didn't know he was going to come home. He let him go. Now watch me. Even though the father knew that his son would be out from under his protection and that he would be vulnerable, and a vulnerable sitting duck in a world full of evil and destruction, he let him go. Now the Lord's not saying to us, I curse you and make you that you are no longer my son. I disown you. You are no longer welcome in my house. That father didn't say that, and neither does God. Does God do that? He's not saying that. The Son has decided he doesn't want the Father to be an authority in his life, so the Son left the Father. But leaving the Father along with his Father, he also forfeits all the benefits that go along with the relationship with that Father. Isaiah 59:1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have separated his face from you that he will not hear." This young man, his sin was, I don't want to stay under daddy's authority, obey the powers that be, I'm going to do my own thing. And so his sin, his shortcoming, he coming short of the glory of God, got him in a situation he no longer was near the Father, he was separated. His sin got him separated. Now, the Father didn't say, "You sin, get out of here." That's what happened. That's not what happened. That's not what God says. The problem is, when we walk on our own way, we are walking where God's not going to walk. So when we walk into sin, we are doing the separating. And he says, "You know what? You're going to be cursed." What do you mean you're going to be cursed? You're going to, you know, I don't know. No. He says you're going to be separated from the blessing and the protection and the provision of the Father because you've separated yourself from the one who's the overcomer. Default is we are living in a world full of sin, a cursed world. But if you stick with God, he's not cursed. You stay where he is, you stay close to him, there's not going to be a whole lot of curse that's going to affect you. But when you separate yourself from him, now you're a sitting duck in the world, and the world's curse is going to be all over you like ugly on a monkey. Watch this. The curse brings, you want to live in a curse, you want to live there. Remember what the prodigal son had? He had friends as long as he had money. Once the money was gone, had no friends. How did he get out of the curse? Huh? Speak to me. He went back to the Father. Why? Because away from the Father, you're in the curse. You go to the Father, he's the overcomer. Daddy will take care of me. I won't have to worry about eating this junk that the pigs are eating, this slop. I don't have to sleep with the pigs. In fact, you got to obey daddy. Yeah, but you know what? Daddy treats his servants even better than the world does. In fact, how does he treat his servant? Put a new robe on him and put a ring on his finger. Let's kill the fatted calf and have a party. That's how he treats his own. But the curse. Go back to verse 14. The curse brings contention. Contention. Chapter 3, verse 14. "Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity," make them enemies, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Have you got the point where you feel like life is a constant fight? It's a constant fight if you're out on your own. Now, if you all want to fight, that's fine. I'm not coming to the fight. I'll let God take care of my end of the fight. You went about, go ahead, fight me. I'm not coming to the fight. If I'm right, I'll be okay. If I'm wrong, then he'll straighten me out and then I'll be okay. You know what? Only by pride cometh contention. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what's in the world. That means that's the things that make up the curse. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All that's in the world are those three things. And by pride cometh contention. Is there contention in your relationships? It's because we're living in the curse. We're not living in the blessing. Next week we're going to come back. I'm going to show you some things that will drop your jaw in practicality. about the curse. It will drop your jaw. Because these are things that we could make a choice to get out of. But we don't. We decide to live in the curse. We decide to have contention in the house, contention amongst our friends, contention in the marriage, contention between us and the kids, contention down at the workplace, contention. Nobody. We were watching Family Feud one night, and they said, what is a holiday where we know for sure the family is going to argue? Thanksgiving. That's what they said. Thanksgiving.
Christmas.
Anytime the family gets together. This ought not so to be. But there's tension. It's because the curse is running the place, not the blessing of God. Watch this. The curse brings sorrow and pain. Now remember, we're choosing to live out here. Sorrow brings sorrow and pain into our lives. Look at verse 16. And the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. In other words, even something as joyful and natural as childbirth, it will bring sorrow with it. Listen, childbirth itself is going to be a pain. And raising those kids is going to be a pain. And everything in between. And we wonder why it's bad. God says, I'm just telling you, life is going to be difficult. There's going to be sorrow. Sorrow is there because of sin. And the more sin we're living in, the more sorrow we're going to experience. Watch this. The curse is going to bring conflict in your heart. It kind of goes right along with this. It's hard becoming a mother and being a mother, and yet we will be drawn to the man over and over. Look what it says here. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now this has been one of those battles of the sexes, if you will, ever since time began. First of all, if we're living in under the blessings and we're doing what God wants to do, the man is the head of the house. That doesn't mean he's perfect. But if we were living in a perfect world, he would be making decisions based on what's best for his family and so forth. And I'll be honest with you, most ladies would rather play with the kids than deal with all the decisions. But the fact is, a lot of men have dropped the balls. The women have had to pick up the pieces and keep it going. Sorrow. Fact is, she knows it's going to hurt when she has another baby. But you know what? There's something in her that wants that man again. One more kid in that brood is going to make a mess. I think Janet said the first one was, you know, was tough, then you had second. The third one was just was awful. For some reason, just. But then the fourth one came along. That was over there. He was just one of the pack. He didn't matter. You know, one of the herd just came along. Apparently, if you get past three, who knows, you know. We're already outnumbered, you know. And so you just go along with the crowd. You just do it. But there's sorrow. Things that should be good and celebrated, it's like the curse just can't leave it alone. It has to put its dig in there. The curse brings problems and difficulties. It is just the way life is on this earth. Look at verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. The Lord is saying that unless the Lord intervenes, Adam is not going to get much help from him in his livelihood. Life is going to be hard. But if you were with me earlier, you'll remember that in Deuteronomy, the Lord said, if you do what I ask you to, I'll bring you the early rain, and I'll bring you the latter rain, and you'll have so much in your storehouse, you'll have to get rid of it or do something because you've got more stuff coming in already. The new harvest is already coming. So he says, I will bless you there. The overcomer steps in. But if you take the overcomer out, now we're fighting the elements all by ourselves. Some people just kind of get along well in their livelihood, their vocation. I'm not saying perfect because none of us are perfect. But they're doing well. And some people just like they cannot get. It's just one thing. It bounces here and there and yon. And I'm not trying to hurt anybody, but I'm trying to help you here. Stop bouncing around. And you know, 9 times out of 10, the ones who are like that, not every time, but 9 times out of 10, the ones who are like that, they've got it all figured out. Well, next time, this is what I'm going to do. Well, here's what I should have done. Well, next time, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Or they come back, and for some reason, they do the same stupid thing they did last time. You know what they're doing? They're fighting the curse in their own power. But we're fighting against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. We cannot fight that fight. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We think we are. Well, I could take him. I could figure this out. I'll go around it. I'll maneuver around. I'll get that guy out of the work, and I'll be able to take his job, and he'll be out of here. I'll figure out a way to do that. You can think you're doing that. There's greater power working than you know of. And not only is that power working, but that power is working. And you're not better than him. You're not greater than him. Spiritual wickedness in high places. The curse is in full force. And we cannot defeat the curse on our own. Watch this. Verse 18. Thorns also, and thistles shalt bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In other words, you're going to eat vegetation. You got to eat. Okay, there's kind of a picture going on. You got to do what you got to do to live. Right? You got to do what you got to do to live. But he says, while you're trying to get to what you need to do, trying to get to those raspberries to have for dinner, you got to go through the thorns. You've got to get to what you need to get to, but he said, because of the curse, man, it's going to be a scratch. It's going to be so you come out there and you got all these little scratches all over your arms and your hands. You know what I'm talking about? You bunch of city slickers. You know what I'm talking about? You know, you find. And by the way, do you know where those things seem to grow? On the hedgerow, on beside the road. How many times have you ever gone down the road and seen all these briars along the roads there, you know? And the berries hanging on there. Boy, they'd probably be good. I'm not getting up in that mess. Sometimes you gotta get way up in there before you get the berries. And man, you're scratched up. You've got pools all over your pants, and you know, and one of them smacked up here, and you got a slice over here, and you just to get a couple berries. We had Brother Berkheimer had a beard, and a lot of times they come in and visit for Christmas, a few things like that once in a while, and he always had the beard. I used to see him at CEF, with the briars, and I said, you got all the beard on there, and I said to his wife, I said, so I guess you don't mind having to go through the briars to get to the berries, huh? And he thought that was funny. He thought it was great stuff. But life is like that. Sometimes you got to go through the briars to get to the berries. Why is that? The curse. It makes life difficult. Now watch this. You're trying to just provide for your family. But God's trying to make it difficult. Why did he do that? He did that to show you that's what it happens when you walk away from him. The sweetness of that berry is a desire, and we blew it. You realize there are not going to be thorns and thistles in heaven? In fact, I think they're not going to have it in the millennial kingdom because the lion's going to lay down with the lamb. Dogs aren't going to bite you when the curse is gone. The lion will lay down with the lamb when the curse is gone. We're living inside the curse. Now watch me. Hang on. The curse just makes everything more difficult. Look at verse 19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. In other words, just surviving and having your basic needs is going to be a lot of work, a difficult matter. It's almost as if we're being resisted. In fact, the curse kind of makes you wonder whether life is really worth it. Look at verse 19, halfway through. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and dust shalt thou return. You've heard this, people say, life is hard and then you die. You ever hear that? Life is hard and then you die. It is for somebody who's living in the curse all by himself. Life is hard and then you die. That's the curse. But God says, I've given you a choice. You can do nothing and stay in the curse. Or you can do as I ask you to do and see the blessing. Sure, you sure this is the way it works? Oh, let me show you something where it's a little more practical. The curse removes us from the Lord's blessing. Look at verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take over and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore the Lord God sent him away, sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and he placed it at the east of the Garden of Eden, cherubim, and a flaming sword which turned away, turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So in other words, the curse removes you from the blessing of God. He said, no, you're not, you can't be here. And so he's showing us when we remove ourselves from God, we're removing ourselves. We think that Adam thought that he could eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and stay in the garden. I could sin against God and stay in his presence. Stay in there. When I hid from his presence, but I can still have the good things in life. God said, no, it doesn't work that way. You want the good things in life, you got to stick with me. Now, I understand. So, well, I have it pretty good. Well, God does send the rain on the just and the unjust. But some of us are living in the splash from other people who are getting the blessing. Listen, we've grown up in America. Overall, America's been blessed because overall, America's been trying to live for him. So we have we've gotten some splashes of blessings because we're part of America. But when America decides, and it is doing so right now, deciding it doesn't want God in its way, it's like the prodigal son. I got stuff I want to do. Give me, by the way, where did all the inheritance and the blessing come from? The Father. We get blessed by God and said we're going to use it to go do what we want. And we're going to walk away from the blessing. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because we've got to get out of here. Number two, I talked about the second curse. The second curse was a kind of an extension of the first curse. Cain killed Abel. Now, he wouldn't have killed Abel if it hadn't been the first curse, which put him in there. But the second curse came, and it says, and this is what God says, it says, and now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. It was bad enough he just had the regular curse. But then he decided in the midst of the regular curse, he's going to purposely go against God's word again. And he kills his brother. And God says, not only am I not going to help you, but I says, it's going to be more difficult than it was before. You're kind of a vagabond. You're going to go here and there. You're going to waste your life wandering here and there. In fact is, Adam, he was going to be able to provide for his family by the sweat of his brow. But he says, you know, not only are you not going to be able to provide for the sweat of your brow, but you're going to spend the sweat of your brow and you're not going to get much out of it on top of it. You're going to work hard and get nothing. Bible talks about having buckets with holes in them, pockets with holes in them. You're going to work hard, and it seems like everything you got just slips right out the bottom. You still don't have anything. I don't know how to make ends meet. You know. He says it's going to be even more difficult. Let me give you a third one. I call it the Abraham's curse. Watch me. In Genesis 12, 1, it says, Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of the country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Abraham, which is the father of the Israelites, and so forth. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That word blessed there is the word to kneel. It kind of gives the idea to stop, to care for, to tend to care for a child, to kneel down and provide and protect and to bless, to care for him. The Lord will overlook the curse and reach beneath himself to care for the one that should be left to destruction. But he says, I'll bless you if you bless my people Israel. So God will take care of and do good to those that take care of and do good to Israel. This is not just being neutral about Israel. Oh, we don't, you know, let them do, we're not against them. No, he said, bless them. Well, they're not always righteous people. That has nothing to do with it. He says, they're my people. God bless them in spite of their sin. He said, you bless them, they're my people. I'll bless you if you bless them. It's a choice to do good to God's people. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. But the point is, he says, that's why I want our nation. That's why, really, our nation has always stood with Israel. That's where that came from. Now we've made it just a tradition. That's what America does. We stand for Israel. No, America stood for God, and God's people stood for Israel. That's where we were. Now, if we turn our back on Israel, we're really turning our back on God. Not that they're God, but we don't care whether we get his blessing or not. Now, number four. Again, this is kind of summarizing. We're coming on to the end here. Life is hard living among the curse. I hope by now you realize that just living among the curse, life is hard. When we walk away from purposely following the Lord, we're walking into the curse. Anything off of the narrow, watch, okay. Tornado's coming. And there it is, I can see it. But I decide I'm going to go out and watch it. So I'll go out the front door of this building. Wise? Well, I'm going out into outside. I go outside all the time. No, that's where the danger is. When I leave the protection, the hedge of God. You say, well, I want to, listen, you shouldn't make, I don't have to do what you say. I will be able to do it as I please, come and go as I please. That's where it's being. I have freedom. I'm an American. And as an American, I choose to stay in the confines of God. As soon as I decide to leave the confines and go into the world, I'm walking into the curse. Because I'm walking away. Now the curse, by the way, the curse is all around the building. The tornado may be all around the building. But the chances are, if I get back here, I don't know how we're all fitting the restroom back here, but if be honest with you, if we all went back here to this restroom back here, it's totally inside of a concrete place there. It's probably a good safe to be. I just told you where my hideout is, didn't I? But anyway, we're going to be sitting like this. But I want to be where it's protected. To walk out of that, I'm walking into the curse. So watch me. Anything off of the narrow way is not in the right way, and thus it's moving away from the blessing into the realm of the curse. Now we talk about we're supposed to, the Lord is leading us to the green pastures, there's still waters, and he's taking, he leads in paths of righteousness, and we need to just walk down the paths of righteousness. Now there's a word in the Bible called froward. There's forward, there's backward, and there's froward. Froward means odd, perverted, crooked directions. I'm not going forward, I'm not going backward, I'm just going every which way. Froward. Okay, just hang on to that word. Now, some people, they'll stay right in this little path of righteousness, and that's where we need to be. Problem is, sometimes, well, there's something over there I'd like to go look at. I just stepped into the world. I just stepped into the curse. I stepped out of the blessing and into the curse. Years ago, about 1994 or 5, we built a house. I'm building a house right now, to be honest with you. And we're having a good time with it. I don't know why I like to do that, but I do. I like to do that. Have a good time with all the problems and the headaches. I love it. Anyway, we were building a house, and we were going to build a house. And we had seen this house about 3.5 miles from the church where I was at the time. And otherwise, our house was about a half an hour away. And I'd watched this lot ever since I was a kid. And it sit in the woods just off the road there on a decent road, but not a real big road. And it was a good road, though. And it set up in there. I thought that'd be a beautiful place to put a house in the woods there. And we got ready to look for a lot. And sure enough, some lady decided to put it up for sale. And she put so we found it. And so I don't know whether we were still looking at it, whether I had bought it. I think we had bought it, but we didn't quite have it lined up where we were going to do. But I was trying to think how we're going to situate the house in there and so forth. And so I passed it on the way to work. It's like going past a Dunkin' Donuts. You got to stop. You know what I mean? And so I would kind of stop and dream. And so I stopped along the road there, and there was a lot. And I thought, I'm going to go there. Boy, of course, you know, it's on a bank. And you know what's on a bank in the woods, along the edge of the woods there, and a bank along the road? Thorns and briars. All kinds of other stuff. But I thought, well, I'm going to get up. I'm going to see. Of course, I was dressed like this while going to work. And so I got up in there, and I got past the briars. And I got up in there, and looked around. Looked a little while there, and I really wasn't supposed to be there, supposed to be going to work. But I was looking around there and so forth, and I thought, well, I guess I better go. So I got out, I went out on the bank, got ready to get in the car. And I don't know what they call these things, but they were like these little seeds, and they have like this little Velcro sticker on each end. You know what I'm talking about? That's jiggers, okay. They were everywhere. On my nice dark suit, you know. And so I'm trying to brush those things off. I'm working hard. And some of them I had to pick off, you know. And I thought, well, okay, I got them. All right, very good. So I got in the car and headed to church. I got out of the car and went into the church and walking down the hallway. And somebody said, I know where you've been. What? I know where you've been. Where have I been? You've been over at your lot, haven't you? Yeah, how'd you know? All over the back of me. You know, we think we can play in the world and get away with it. But that daggone thing will stick to you. That's what it's designed to do. Listen, it'll grab a hold of you and ride you like a monkey. Remember that old commercial? Got a monkey on the back? That's a long time. Young kids don't remember that one. Talking about drugs, it's like a monkey on your back. You just can't get it off your back. You go play with sin, and it gets a hold of you, and you can't get it. Now watch me. Remember what it said in verse 18? Thorns also and thistles shalt bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. So you want to get, you need to get, I need a house, but at that gun, it's in the middle of the thistles and the thorns. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. It's going to be hard work. I return to the ground. Now watch me. Proverbs 22:5. It won't be true too much longer here. Proverbs 22:5. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. He says the thorns, the prickly things, the things that scratch you, just makes life irritating. And snares. you catch an animal in a snare. It's a trap. It looks good. A snare says, oh, look at that piece of fruit. Bang! Snap. That's the way the world works. And he says, or in the way, in the direction, in the path that the froward is going. Froward means distorted, perverse, crooked, wandering off. But he that puts a hedge around his soul, keep your heart, because in it are the issues of life. He that keepeth his soul shall be far from them. As long as I do what I'm supposed to do, I'm not in the briars. I got to have a good time. Just stay on the path. Don't get out into the briars. I don't have to live in the world to have a good life. In fact, I'm going to have a better life without those doggone thorns and snares. Now, you can escape the curse. Finally, you can escape the curse. Hold on here. Proverbs 13:13. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Just stay where you're supposed to be. Yeah, but I saw it. Stay, I'm telling you, not everything that glitters is gold. I won't say that. That's not nice. Number five, you cannot escape the curse. In Deuteronomy 28, it says this, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee. They're going to show up in your life. And watch, and overtake thee. There are some people think they can go against God's word and stay ahead of the consequences. No one ever know. It won't happen to me. They will overtake you. You will not. Be sure your sin shall find you out. Next time we get together, we're going to talk about some things here. How far does the curse go? There are so many things that are listed. We're going to talk about them next time. Again, people don't understand life. They think, well, if I just do this, I'll be okay. Well, you cannot be neutral. Neutral is condemned and in the curse. You cannot play the game. Playing the game is not real life. As long as we're playing, we're still in the curse. If we're going to stay out of the curse, we're going to be serious about this. I know it's real late this morning.